So we've had a tissue and an organ, and I think we're now going to be talking about whole animals or representations of animals in the One Health movement.
Yes.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about this thing that calls itself One Health, which essentially I've been researching for about a year now. So, to kind of give you some flavour, my understanding of One Health is what seems to me bloody obvious, and probably to most of the people in this room, the idea that human and animals are interrelated, so thinking about their health, it's a good idea to think about both at the same time. So you might think, well, that's a really, really simple idea. Why do we need a movement to promote this? However, one of the other things about it is being such a simple idea, it's all a bit protean. I'm not going to read out all of these quotes, but it gives you some idea of the way that different groups and agendas, and particularly funding bodies, who have become very, very key to this idea in the last few years, can shape and reshape it to fit their own agendas. So you can see with the CDC in the States, it's very much about getting collaboration between human and veterinary medicine. BBSRC, it's about new drug discovery. Wellcome Trust is concerned with infectious diseases. So my job has been to kind of try and understand where this thing called One Health has come from and why it seems to have come to the fore so much in the last few years. And I'm not actually going to talk too much about that because it's a bit complicated. This is just to give you some idea of the various different groups of actors, organisations and issues that have come up in the last few years that I think now are coming together and are increasingly adopting themselves or being labelled as One Health, which I think are kind of adding to, if you like, a bandwagon effect in this. The other thing to get across with this, One Health itself is very keen on writing its own histories, which tend to be a very sort of progressivist narrative. What I want to get across here is that I think there are all these things are coming together at the moment, but whether they're going to stay there or whether it will all kind of fly apart again is another question. So really you actually have these different versions of One Health. And so a lot of what I've been doing is trying to untangle all those different threads over the last year or so. However, the project that I'm working on, One Medicine with Abigail, one of the central ideas of that is looking at when people collaborate across human and animal health, and particularly the roles of animals beyond being models for human health. So I found myself in this peculiar situation where I'm interested in animals, but, you know, to go back to Berger, the animals have vanished in this story. So it's a question of thinking, well, where am I actually seeing animals? And realising that the place that I am seeing animals is in the imagery of One Health. And I've done a certain amount of work with images in the past, and particularly because One Health is essentially a rhetorical persuasive movement, I think you can make a fairly good case that actually looking at the images is a very good way of looking at what are the underlying messages that people are trying to use to make their case, and what are the underlying assumptions, what's being foregrounded and what's being backgrounded. And there is an existing literature, particularly around environmental communication, that has started to look at imagery, which is quite useful to draw on in this. So as I say, One Health is communication and persuasion. It's very much global in scope. That's one of the overwhelming features. It involves international health bodies such as FAO and OIE, WHO to a lesser extent, and that's an interesting part of the story. So the primary need is to reach across disciplinary boundaries, particularly from the animal side to the human. And of course the central issues are health, disease, risk, they're emotional symbolic issues. So again, looking at images really helps. Also, imagery is actually, you can see it's very important to One Health. If you look at One Health has various websites about promoting the idea. There are various veterinary schools, and medical schools who are doing programs. They have websites, look at policy reports, conferences. These kind of sites seem to be as important as academic journal articles. In these kinds of sites, images become important. Even to the point where one of the One Health websites actually has a page of resources of images to be used by whoever in kind of making the case. And actually the next, this is the second international congress for One Health will be next year. And it's actually got an art competition, I discovered. So I think that gives you some idea that actually, you know, looking at images might be a thing to do. So this is just to give you some idea, for those of you who've done any kind of textual analysis, it's now possible to pretty much do exactly the same kind of coding with images, which is fantastic. It's really easy to do and it works incredibly well. You know, you're just simply coding what you're seeing is what I'm doing, and then building up the coding structure from that, rather than necessarily starting with a coding structure. So the main data I've been using in this is largely Google image search, and then going from the sites that I've identified, following links, things like that. So most of it is online. I do also have a sample of keynote talks from a One Health conference I attended. I'm not really going to talk about those today because I'm particularly interested in the public aspects of this communication. So, I've got about, I think it's four or five key themes coming out, and I should say that this work is really, really in progress, so I'm really interested to kind of get as much feedback as possible on this. So firstly, where we're seeing owned animals. And there's two aspects to this. You have pets, and pets are in nice families, and pets are things we really care for. The other aspect is farm animals, if you like, or certainly domestic animals, food animals. And what we see there overwhelmingly is essentially pastoralist farmers, people in the global south, people kind of very directly interacting with animals. And often these pictures are there, not really with any particular context or explanation why they're there, but there certainly seems to be an inference there about risk. What you're not seeing very much, aside from this one image, which is from East Asian Veterinary Association conference on food health or food safety, is any link between these animals and food, and very much depiction at all of, if you like, modern methods of farming or intensive farming or anything like that. Those connections are certainly not there in the imagery. Secondly, it might be a bit odd to come to a meeting about farms and talk about wildlife, but it is actually quite important. Wildlife, wild animals, and also the idea of the environment is really, really important in this. So on the one hand, we kind of have these sort of images of kind of just the wonders of the wild, and big charismatic animals, so on and so forth. And so you have that, but then at the same time, you also have this very deep aspect of wildlife essentially as a very severe source of risk, particularly in the public domain. These are various popular science books. One of these is up on the Science Booker Prize this year, which are essentially about the potential risks of future pandemics, obviously building on the recent issues around H5N1, H1N1, and so forth. This animal here is actually not even a real animal. This is a CGI bat from the film Contagion, which one of its chief scientific consultants is very, very big on One Health. And apparently they started with kind of real bats and a mummified bat, a taxidermy bat or something. They took it to the director and he said, oh, I want it to look a bit icky. So they kind of basically made the face look a bit more sinister, and the narrative of the story is essentially it's the bat walk done it. So you've got these two images of wildlife are there. And of course the relevance to farms is that they're very much seen as the source of risk, not just for human health, but for animal health as well. So this is from a New York Times book review of Spillover, which is one of the current books that's kind of really heading up the sales lists. And so you have kind of the wild animals and the all sort of swimming together in this bacterial soup that's a bit scary. But the wild animals are all kind of verminous, and it's obviously they're the source. That's the thing that we need to worry about, and these are the animals we need to protect. Third theme, it's a global movement. So obviously they will immediately move to the imagery of the blue marble, in common with global human health movements and environmental movements. And so globes are just everywhere in this. But of course this leads also to an abstraction. I mean, I love this image up here of the whole planet in the Petri dish. It's zooming right out. And at the same time also you've got these kind of universal men. So this image up here is actually not a One Health image. This is from an older comparative medicine textbook. And comparative medicine has been getting for a very, very long time is kind of a precursor. But you have these kind of hierarchies of animals, and so the comparative medicine one is particularly interesting because it's veterinary and the horse is actually at the top. You have this kind of Leonardo-style imagery, and again, humans and dogs particularly. And then these other kind of idealized, abstracted, but kind of not, humans and nuclear families and so on and so forth, which are all saying something about relationships between humans and animals. Finally, there's just this dizzying amount of infographics and logos and diagrams, again, because you have these, it's about conveying this idea. So, you know, on one level we have, again, this alliance between human medicine and veterinary medicine across the globe. We have other ideas, which is kind of the domain of the human, the domain of the animal, and the domain of the environment. Considering how dominant environmental imagery is in this, the actual going to meetings, looking at conference proceedings, things like that, the level of participation from actual environmental scientists is very strikingly low. So we have all of these kind of diagrams, maps, images, essentially logos. And one of the things that's very interesting talking to researchers in the UK about their thoughts about One Health is that discussions of branding keep coming up all the time. This is something about branding or rebranding, something you're doing already to fit with this thing, because it will bring you something or other. Finally, yeah, we're talking about the globe, but we're also talking about particular parts of the globe. And where One Health is from, who is the audience, who's considered to be the object of care, who's the source of risk. This top map is from the major One Health website, which is looking at emerging infections. This bottom map is actually from the conference I attended, and it's the map of participants in the conference. And I should say that from experience of being there, these are probably one or two individuals. So that's telling you something about these movements and who is actually doing them and who we're supposed to be worried about, cared for, concerned by. In terms of Global North, you know, we have the victim in contagion. That's the ultimate person that I think we're really concerned about here. And you've got lots and lots and lots and lots of people at conferences.
You've got just over 5 minutes.
Oh, fantastic. So I can slow down a bit, which is nice. To sort of try and summarise, and I really am kind of just kind of grappling with this stuff, one of the things I should say is that these various things I'm seeing in the imagery, I am also seeing in the discourses around One Health. What's interesting is the imagery kind of distills it in some very, very interesting ways. So we can see there are different visions of what One Health is, which is not surprising considering the complexity of the groups involved. So firstly, we have this kind of intersecting hierarchy of protection and care. We have children or pets, particular publics, are the people that we should be protecting or caring for. We have veterinary and medical alliances. One of the interesting things about this particular vision of One Health, which is more associated with the idea of One Medicine, is that that's not actually that much about infectious disease. It's actually about all aspects of healthcare. There are various specific sites where we see active collaboration in cancer or ophthalmics or fixing bones or whatever, because bodies are bodies, and sometimes it's quite useful to not concentrate just on humans or just on animals. So that vision of One Health is actually really rather different than the other one, which is more prominent in the public sphere, which is essentially the pandemic nightmare. And of course, one of the big problems with that is that it's partly about the collapse of medical care. So there's a really big tension there. And I think it's partly because these images are being used in not particularly reflective ways. And we've got different risk frameworks. There's some really interesting literature been published looking at social representations, particularly around the pandemic flus, of looking at who is the hero. Inevitably, that would be the medic or the scientist. Who the villains are, where is the source of risk. And certainly within this, what we're seeing is really the biggest risk of here is wildlife and wild animals, and possibly the natural environment as well. You're seeing ideas about climate change are kind of folding into this as well. But then also we've got human-animal interactions, but it's a particular kind of farming. And if you look back at those images, some they don't even really look like farming as such. It's just humans and animals in particular kinds of spaces. But that is clearly being flagged as a risky thing. There's another paper building on this, talking with publics in Switzerland, and their thoughts about Mexico during the swine flu outbreak, and seeing publics, people in Mexico as victims of this disease, but also something to be scared of. So there's this idea of guilty victims, and I think that's very much what we're seeing. What's not there? Intensive production, actually sick animals, or sick anybody, rarely. Finally, there's a really obvious politics of scale and local versus global going on here. But if you think about it, if One Health is trying to be a global unifying movement, then it has to use global unifying imagery. But of course, that universal is partially political, and there's a massively well-developed literature, particularly around global health and development, that talks about the problems there. The other part of this, in terms of the aims of One Health itself, is that one of the things I've been finding over the past year, as I referenced, there are all sorts of examples of what you might describe as One Health, bits of research, bits of clinical practice, so on and so forth, where people are collaborating together or working across humans and animals and just getting on with it. And some of this is being identified as One Health, some of it's not, because One Health itself isn't that helpful for those local situated practices. So finally, it's worth thinking about, before we become too critical, how else could you do the imagery of One Health, given that the audiences that they are trying to reach are not actually global audiences, very specific audiences, politicians, policymakers, funders, and publics essentially in Europe, America, Australia. So how else could you do this on an imagery level? That's really worth thinking about. And whether this is telling us anything about One Health, or whether this is actually just telling us about the society that One Health is trying to bring itself into existence in. I think at that point I'll stop.